You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things that you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it wasn't, and you know it had to get done, I ain't got to say nothing else. You got it done. That's it, because you're the kind of brother and sister that we admire and respect because you don't procrastinate. You get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. You notice I don't say anything about TuneIn. Okay? Timeforanawakening.com. Go to timeforanawakening.com on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then on the right side of the page, you click on that, and that will be a live program. Right on, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Appreciate y'all for that. The ability to go right from the page. Didn't have that when I first came, and we had to go to TuneIn. But we got it now, and it's right on. So don't have to mess with TuneIn no more because they started putting commercials on, you know. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so thank you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening. this program, once again, is one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. And so the next up program is Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. 7 to 8 p.m. Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, Mississippi on the Move. Fridays, Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, there's a shortcut you can use. Let's go to whatever search engine that you use and put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate that, man. Yes. Okay. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's a good brother, man. Oh, first I always go with We Buy Black. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Now we're talking about Africa for the Africans and Brother Bomani Tayemba and what he's been able to do
for these many years. He has a tour upcoming March 29th. March 29th to April 9th, going to Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinha. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. Those are some of the trips upcoming, planning. And once again, if you see them and you say, yeah, I like to go on that trip, then put some money down, and because they are subject to change. I've seen it happen. So, and the change usually is going up. Very seldom is it going down. So that'll lock you into that cost. Okay? All right, dear brothers and sisters, Africa for the Africans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, brothers and sisters, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habeshah. Habeshah Incorporated. Habeshah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the projects that they have ongoing. Of course, the Kashi project that they unveiled a few years ago in Ghana. You know, that the buildings erected and everything like that. And beautiful. It's just, well, it's outstanding. And, of course, what they have here locally with the Habeshah Works program, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs, and Sustainable Seeds, all of these programs, you know, just fantastic. And it was great to go to the Habeshah, you know, at the Arts Exchange, celebrating 22 years of reparative agriculture right on Habeshah. The Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas for human necessity and human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Our good brother, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, is in Kenya. He sent some great pictures. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Georgia, promoting good health. And you got his products in there. And he's got stuff that he's talking about. Oh, man, he sent me a little clip. I mean, it looks like hundreds of brothers and sisters in Kenya getting the word. So, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Also, too, Smile Pharmacy with Brother Jabril. He has a new lineup of products. Go to smifarmacy.com, smaifarmacy.com, smifarmacy.com, smaifarmacy. If you want to contact Brother Jabril, give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Or you want to contact him by email, smifarmacy@gmail.com. SmaiPharmacy@gmail.com, smaifarmacy@gmail.com. Moses West Foundation. The brother, you know, water is a universal human right. Water should never be monetized. Water should never be monetized. Now, I understand that we have to pay for the water that can flow through our home, give us water to drink and to use, to clean, to bathe, and so forth. I understand that. But the reality of water, no. And so when water scarcity is happening, and it is because of climate change particularly, you know, many of the reservoirs, many of the lakes, many of the rivers drying up, but water is still there. So the main issue is that water's there, but it's the access to water that is the issue, because Moses West created the atmospheric water generators that he can put a machine small or large or humongous in an area that can extract the moisture out of the air and only deal with the H2O molecule to purify it, to go through a process, and where you can turn on a tap and out comes usable, drinkable water. Check it out for yourself. Go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. And brothers and sisters, if you agree with me, you will know that this brother deserves to be supported. He deserves to be supported, Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. All right. Oh. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, on Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes. Otherwise, they got all kinds of dry goods, foods, smoothies, fruit drinks, pastry, all kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And it's there for you. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and on so much more. She's open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9, and on Sunday from 12 to 6 in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I was hanging out in the Black Dot last week. Didn't see my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, but I enjoyed my stay talking with people. And of course, you know, the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. You know, I had some, what did I have? I had a coffee. I had a, I think it was a Colombian coffee. Yeah. Yeah. So, Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. And, of course, you know the Black Dot is located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. So you take I-20, go east, exit 74, make a left, and about a mile down on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Jump back in your ride. Go back to the expressway. Go back to I-20 and make a left. And now you're still going east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. And that's the exit you take. And you make a right and three lights. You make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. That's right, the new Black Wall Street Market right there for you. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us from 9 to 10. If you want to call in to give questions, comments, or concerns, or just to listen, you can just dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Excuse me. Homeland Village. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop. And Brother Abijah's got it going on. He's open, not today, closed on Mondays, but he's open from Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia, to be exact. give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. He even has a restaurant, a vegan restaurant on the premises. Brother Abijah's got it going on. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my good sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle really has been doing great work in the northeastern portion, that is in the north part of the island, the eastern portion of it, close to the border with Dominican Republic, blah. And the work she's doing with education, agricultural education, healthcare, and so forth for these young kids is phenomenal. And she deserves to be supported. So please, brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Sanjay-Haiti, Sanjay-Haiti.org, and see for yourself. And be compassionate and assist and help out at Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti, Mama Ya. At Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, they deserve your support as well. Go to PayPal for Akabin Institute. Put in yahbaruti@yahoo.com to make your donation. Or go to Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your. But if you want to check out some of the books that Baba Baruti, because you know he's a prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com, AkabinHouse.com, and there will be the selection of books for you. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Okay. I think my batteries on my little lights here. Because I need these. I need a little extra light. It helps out. I mean, you know, it helps out. March 3rd. This is the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 3rd. Our children should be picked out and trained for leadership from birth. You can watch how that child handles a fork. Watch that child's ability to shape and to share with the group. Watch that child's ability to protect the group and to accept the training that will make that child improve. We should spot leaders early and begin to train them. We should make a priesthood of this effort. Nana, Dr. John Henry Clark. Despite the derationalized fantasy many of our own adults feed them, if you talk with our children today, inquiring into their honest perception of who is in charge of this so-called post-racial reality, most will tell you that Europeans are. They know this just as we do. They may not be able to provide you with the concrete evidence of their knowing or scientifically communicate this social arrangement, but they can unequivocally tell you that Caucasians, white folks, Urugu, rule this reality. Their brutal telling honesty and the efforts of so many adults to lie to them in the face of impending destruction is reminiscent of the story of the little boy who saw and said that the king had no clothes, the king had nothing on, while all the adults were busy shushing him and affirming each other's self-deception threat, his naked man was fully clothed. Affirm. I am creating a priesthood out of the warrior in training that I have observed. Ashe. Affirm. I am creating a priesthood out of the warriors in training that I observe. March 4th. One's character is the complexity of mental and spiritual traits which mark a people, and it's a detectable expression as evidence of their ability to transmit their own heredity information. If you're not passing to the next generation of African children the essence of what it is to be African, we have no character. Shame. Nana Kweku Burke, Dr. Wade Nobles. Warriors have character. Beautiful, uncompromising, tradition-grounded character. They know who we are. Therefore, they know who they are. They know what to do, what to expect of themselves, as well as those claiming warriorhood, because they measure themselves against nothing but the best of who we are. Equally so, they know the mind of the menticidal. They are mindful of those who lavish themselves with menticide and wreak havoc on the front line with a genius COINTELPRO could never imagine. Warriors know the menticide within. They know their battles within as well as the enemy without. It is this knowing which has crafted their character in our favor. We know that warriors are not perfect. To say that they are, in order to lift them up so they can be torn down, is a sorry, childish, weak critique, because obviously no one is perfect. The quality of one's character is not a measurement of how close or how far one is from perfection. The quality of one's character is a measurement of the effort one places into becoming human, in correcting the imbalance within themselves and in turn this world. All things considered, warriors possess the best of African character and is most evident in the energy they place in the politicized cultural education of those coming behind them. Warriors cultivate genius. Ashe. Affirm, I have character. Affirm, I have character. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. That's right. Daily revolutionary thought. Yep.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Excuse me, family. I'm still getting remnants and over this cold that I had for the last few weeks. Yeah, man, I tell you. We're going to talk today about pyramids. Pyramids. I know that some time ago, last year, might be around the same time, that we talked about the documentary, the 3.5-hour documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019. Great Pyramid K, 2019. 5 years now ago that this documentary came into existence. And many have tried to shoot it down. You can go online and you can, you know, and for those who try to shoot it down, coming up with some, to me, what is the alternative? I know, let me say this. I've been trying to educate our people on the greatness of ancient Kemet and all the things that it showed the world. I mean, it didn't come into existence you know, just out of word. You know, it didn't come into existence just 'cause someone went, no, it came into existence because of the labor and the working of our brothers and sisters over hundreds and thousands of years prior. And the fact that ancient Kemet came into existence from people from the south. So as you look at the map of Africa, and in the northeast corner is Kemet. The Greeks called it Egypt. It is Kemet. And the Nile River, the longest river in the world. I know there's some debate between the Nile and the Amazon. I read something like that too. Pfft, man. But I'll always claim the Nile River because they stated that many years ago. The Nile River was the longest river in the world. And it was coming out of the Central East Africa where African people followed the river. The Nile River flows from south to north. From south to north. So when you go down river, when you look at the map, you're going up. You're going north. I know the Mississippi River, longest river. Well, some say the Missouri River is longer than the Mississippi, so I don't know. But let's just say for this discussion we're having here that the Mississippi River, longest river in America, flows from north to south. Flows from north to south. And of course, it flows coming out of Superior and all the other Great Lakes and so forth. And through it borders Wisconsin and Minnesota, Iowa and Illinois and Missouri and all the way down the line, Arkansas, you know, Mississippi, Louisiana. And of course, this delta is in Louisiana, Mississippi. So, in fact, what was interesting to me years ago was when Memphis, the city of Memphis, they had a pyramid. They built a pyramid. And they played basketball. There was a center. You know. Well, they don't play there anymore. The Memphis basketball team, which had changed their name from Grizzlies. They ain't no damn Grizzly Bears in Memphis. You know, just because a team moved from there, you don't have to keep the damn name. You could have, you know, the Memphis Kings. No, they already have the Sacramento Kings. Or the Memphis Pharaohs, which is not even a Kemetic name, honestly, family. Pharaoh's not. But they could have done that. In fact, from what I understand, the pyramid now was a big-ass store. A store for sporting goods, I believe. But they had a statue. I remember driving by it when I was visiting Memphis. I'd never been inside of it, but I've seen it, you know. And it's a big pyramid. You know, they built a pyramid by the Louvre Museum, glass pyramid. I remember they tried the Japanese. Now, you know, the Japanese are very, you know, very sharp people, the Japanese. They tried to build a pyramid with stone, even with the tools that they had. It didn't do it. They couldn't finish it. And so these pyramids, and there's more pyramids in the Sudan, which is south of of Kemet. There are more pyramids in the Sudan than there are in Kemet, in Egypt. So it says that pyramid building began in that area and move northward. Pyramid building began in the south. Just like everything came from the south and moved upward. And it was perfected in Kemet. The pyramids that are in Kemet, the ones that are known are the Great Pyramids at Giza, at the Giza Plateau. One of the things, when you watch the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019, you know, when I used to work with kids, I used to say to them, because this is what was in the books, that people would travel upriver. That means they're going south, upriver. The river flows from south to north, so it's going upriver. So you would travel upriver to some quarries, and you would, with your tools, carve out these blocks of stone. Drag these stones, and remember what they used to do was put boards, wood. Now, understand something, too. They don't have a lot of wood in Kemet because most of it is desert. You know, so they would drag these stones and use the wetness of the sand to be able to slide them across and then get them to a barge, put them on a barge, and then sail them downriver. I'm making a motion going upward, northward, because that's the direction. To sail them downriver, hundreds of miles, and then get to the Giza Plateau, and then drag them off the barge, and then put them in place. Now, if it's at the base, obviously that's not hard, but if it's starting to elevate the third, the fourth, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth level, that's going to be some work. That's when they talked about having ramps. They had these ramps that go. And, you know, one of the things, listen, family, one of the things that societies, if they had something and they knew what they had was monumental, what they had was something that others would literally kill for, then we have to find a way to keep this secret. We have to find a way to make you think that's not what we did or how we did it. You see, when you watch the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019. And family, when you watch it, you know, if you got time to watch the whole thing, 23 hours and a half, I've done it a few times and I'm going to probably do it again. But most times I watch about an hour, next day or two, another about an hour, you know. And I'll continue to watch it because I'm always learning different things. So, you know, you realize at that time, we had bronze tools, bronze. We didn't have steel. We didn't have iron. And so, copper, soft. We couldn't literally cut a stone as perfect as the stone in the Great Pyramids or pyramid building period. We didn't have that ability as human beings. But yet, these structures were built. Then how were they built? And now, if one disputes what the documentary is saying, and there are, because one of the things that I mentioned about something that you don't want to, you know, let others know about is a creation or invention of the ability to melt stone. The ability to melt stone. And that was the solar lens. You know how you, when you were, we were kids, you take a magnifying glass and you put the magnifying glass on the back of your hand and you move it up and down where the sunlight would get that light, and then the smallest of it, and it was at the smallest part of it, it would burn you. It would burn you. And of course, so you didn't let it lay there, but just showing you that that is possible. And so imagine us realizing that capability and then taking it to a serious level of a large glass. And you can make glass and sand. They got plenty of sand. Sodium silicate and so forth. They have plenty of ability to make glass. And so they made it where it's not just straight glass. No, it's oval. So when the sun hits it, it magnifies. And so when you turn that glass, and a huge solar disk, let's call it that, a huge solar disk, solar energy, when they can move it into a certain way from where the direction of the sun is, it would, I'm talking about, melt stone. It would, you know how hard granite is. There was nothing that could cut granite. But family, it is proof that inside of the Great Pyramid, inside the king's chamber is made of granite. The walls, straight in line, are made of granite. Their sarcophagus and the lid of it, made of granite. It is enclosed, made of granite. Now, once again, they didn't have the tools to chisel and to sculpt, you know. And so, given this reality, something had to happen. Now, many people, that's why many people thought that this was aliens. Many people thought that this was some kind of ability for telepathy, some kind of ability to elevate and to move things. Some said this is a mental thing, that we could lift this stone up through vibrations, you know, you know, and then the stone would levitate and then move and then be placed gingerly in a proper position. You know, this one European, he came up with the idea, geopolymer, concrete. What it means is they mixed it. They had plenty of limestone. They had plenty of all the things they needed. And every year, like clockwork, the Nile would flood. And when the Nile flooded, they utilized that time. They had, you know, in ancient Kemet, there were three seasons. Three seasons. They didn't have four. 365 days. They had the first calendar. But they had three seasons. They had the inundation, they had the germination, then they had harvest. The inundation. That's when they started building pyramids and tombs. When the water receded, that's when they got together to do the planting. All these things were done, and they had to be done at the right time. You can't pretend that you can wait around for something. No. You had to do them in the timely manner, in the seasonal manner. Otherwise, because you lived on a desert, otherwise there'll be serious food shortages. Otherwise there'll be other issues complicating the overall development within the society. So they understood this. And so, now, understand something, family. And I want you to clearly understand this. Biblical stories are just that, stories. Biblical, particularly as it pertains to ancient Kemet, there were no Hebrews in bondage in ancient Kemet. They did not build temples and tombs and so forth with mud and straw. They did not do any of those things that you've seen in the Ten Commandments movie, which I watch every year. I do. I still watch that bull every year. And it's about to come on. It'll be on very soon. Sometime it's on a week before Easter. And sometimes it's, you know. So, Easter is the 31st of this month. So, at the end of this month, Easter is the 31st. You're going to see that story. Okay? And it usually is, okay, Good Friday is the Friday before Easter, which is the 29th of this month. So on the 30th, you may see on the 30th, Saturday the 30th, the Ten Commandments movie being played once again in Technicolor and CinemaScope. I tell you, I went to see it at the theater when I was a kid, you know, before it ever played on TV. It wasn't first run then because Ten Commandments was born, I think, when was made before I was born, I believe, in the 50s with Charlton Heston. And then, of course, there was an older Ten Commandments movie, which is really whack. But anyway, so it'll be played then. You know, it'll be played then. And the same story. Many people believe that it is historical. You are trained and encouraged to believe that the Bible is a history book. And the things that happen in the Bible have happened historically. Sorry, family. And so you believe that the Hebrews were whipped into building monuments, temples, and tombs. But what's interesting is the fact that when you go to ancient Kemet, if you had the opportunity, family, I've been blessed to come, to go, to see for myself, to go to Abu Simbel, which is south, and see the monument of Abu Simbel and how that looked. I've been blessed to see the line of Hori Makhets, the Greeks call them Sphinx, lining this walkway in Waset. They call it Luxor. See, one of the things that you need to do, always do, look for or learn Kemetic terms, the ancient Kemetic terms, you know, so you can get out of the Greek terms. And the beauty of that, and the fact that they built something the same way. It looks the same, it looks the same, it looks the same. Should give you either pause for the fact that there was one sculptor that was busy 24/7 of his entire adult life, or maybe he learned it as a little child and he was so good and he continued to build these sculptures till the day he died at 100. That's why they look all the same. Yeah, right. No, family. They look the same because they put in molds. When you go through that documentary, they'll tell you about other things, pottery, sculptors, and that using other rock materials that is even stronger. But the fact is that the solar disk could melt that. They use that. When you see some of the statues of ancient Kemetic people, solid. That's why they could chip off the nose. Did the other part of the statue crack? No. Did it crumble? No. Because it was solid. They defaced it. Sometimes, I'm just being honest in the history, sometimes rivals defaced previous rulers. Not just later interlopers, later quote conquerors would do that. But the point I'm making here is that this was so strong and so solid. How could they create? Because they had the solar disk. They had the ability to utilize the sun to melt damn near anything. The power of the sun, putting it into clay molds, or putting the granite into a sheath of clay, and then break away the clay, you have a solid wall. Break away the clay, you have a sarcophagus in perfect form. When you go to Waset, when you go to Saqqara, the great pyramid of the pharaoh Djoser, built by Imhotep, the first world's multi-genius, the step pyramid for the pharaoh Djoser, who also has his nose chopped off. I'm saying these things are true. These things are real. Oh, I'm coming upon time here. Let me go ahead and take a break. And when I come back, join the conversation. If you've seen the movie or the documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019. You can check it out on YouTube, you know. And, yep, Great Pyramid K, 2019. So I'm going to take a break, family. We come back from the break, we'll have questions and continue on with the conversation. Pyramids, you know. And let me tell you why I'm talking about this. I need to talk about Kemet, because even though Dr. Shikanta Jop and Dr. Thelafilio Benga kicked ass in 1974 in Cairo, kicked ass, leaving those crackers dumbfounded to the point that UNESCO had to write the history of ancient Kemet or of Africa, 3 volumes. It was done. But yet today, and one of the leading persons in is the former antiquities director, Dr. Azita Wass, his ass. Oh, no. The Egyptians were not black. They were not African. They were African, but they were not black. Or they were black, but not. It's crazy. It's crazy. Because why? They want the people who are there now to be the people of ancient times. They want the people who came and took Kemet, sweeping North Africa, that they were there for thousands of years. They were there from the beginning. No, they were not. They were not in those countries in all the way from Morocco all the way to Kemet. They were not in Algeria and Libya and so forth. They were not. When Islam came on the scene, it swept across North Africa. Now, the people who we call the Moors, these were African. These were the indigenous people at the time who accepted the religion of Islam. And they journeyed into Europe. Easy to cross the Bering Strait or the columns of Hercules, whichever word you want to use or phrase you want to use, the Bering Strait, into what is now Spain and Portugal, or better known as the Iberian Peninsula. And for 700 years, when Europe was in a dark age, a medieval age, they were running things. They were creating schools, science, algebra, teaching them how to get them damn animals out of the castles and put them in a corral, teaching them bathing and so forth, hygiene. It's deep that the Greeks came and studied at the feet of Kemetic people. And later they come back as conquerors. That the Europeans studied at the feet of the Moors. And they came back as conquerors, kicking them out, along with the Sephardic Jews. Yeah, let me take a break here, family, and then we're going to come back. And please join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling,
hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Sounds of Blackness, Philadelphia. Keep your head to the sky, to be optimistic, to be positive. Keep your head to the sky. We're talking today about pyramids. You're free to join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. There are more pyramids in the Sudan than there are in Kemet. Yeah. It's just that the ones particularly at the Giza Plateau, that's the perfection, that's the apex, that's the zenith, that's the pinnacle of pyramid building. Well, they stopped building pyramids because people were breaking into them and, you know, building from 2700 B.C. until 1700 B.C. The first pyramid was erected during the Third Dynasty by the Pharaoh Zoser. And the architect was Imhotep. The step pyramid consists of six stacked mastabas. Early kings such as Seneferu built pyramids, with subsequent kings adding to the number until the end of the Middle Kingdom. The age of the pyramids reached its zenith at Giza. Giza, 2575 to 2150 BCE. The last king to build a royal pyramid was Utmosis, with later kings hiding their tombs in the hills, such as those in the Valley of the Kings and Queens. In fact, Tutankhamun, the 18th dynasty, his burial place was in the mountains. And of course, Howard Carter, the British, to found it with the help, of course, of many Kemetic people. And of course, he entered and plundered. And they plundered, they did. Yeah. So, yeah. But it is a study of the Great Pyramid of Giza, the largest pyramid, and one of the largest in the world. There are larger even than that in this hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, Mexico, and so forth. And so what the documentary points out, family, is that the ancient Kemetic people sailed out of Kemet into the Mediterranean Sea, into the Strait of Gibraltar, or the Columns of Hercules, whatever you want to call it, Strait of Gibraltar, into the Atlantic Ocean. When I first started finding out about this, becoming curious with this, was many, many, many years ago. And a man named Thor Heyerdahl said that the ancient Kemetic people sailed to this hemisphere. And so he built a boat of reeds just like they built at that time. And he sailed out of Kemet in the Mediterranean and through the Strait of Gibraltar, now into the Atlantic Ocean. And what's interesting is that the currents sweep westerly. It's just like why there are no hurricanes. There are no hurricanes in the western part of Africa. There are no hurricanes. But there are hurricanes in the Caribbean. Hurricanes in the Gulf. Hurricanes
on the eastern coast of the Americas. Why? Because of that warm air that comes out of Africa into the Atlantic, and sometimes getting even warmer, especially now, especially because of climate change, even warmer. It clashes with that cold air that comes out of the north, causing hurricanes and tornadoes and so forth. So he said, I proved to you that this could happen. So his boat just through the currents were being swept westerly until it came into the Caribbean. It came into the Gulf. It came into the eastern coast of the United States, proving that it could be done. And so those brothers and sisters, after many times of coming here, they came with the knowledge, and they came with the tools, especially the solar disk, because it is with the solar disk that they can make stone melt and then be poured. It is with the solar disk even that they could make things smooth, or statues, or vases, or something like that. Oh, so many things. And they took it with them wherever they went. They didn't leave them. They didn't leave them. And they showed. Now, you know, the argument, so you look at those stone heads in the Olmecs, arguably one of the first civilizations in this hemisphere, the Olmec. And they undeniably look African. Undeniably look African. I can't remember exactly how many of the stone heads of the Olmecs, I can get that, but many of them, like 10, 15, something like that. One even has braids. Yeah, solid, big stone head, solid. Once again, you know, what it lends itself to, because of some of these things I've done, so it's miraculous that it does lend itself to the idea that some kind of alien entity had the ability to do this, as opposed to human beings, because the tools were not there, family. They didn't have iron. They didn't have, you know, the hardness. They didn't have it. And to have these chisels and hammers to make something that is so smooth and carved perfectly. That's why I'm saying, family, this is something that was done by being poured into a mold. There are some of the blocks in the pyramids. A ton is 2,000 pounds. A ton is 2,000 pounds. There are some blocks, particularly at the base, that are 8 tons. 16,000 pounds. And some even more. They couldn't have dragged that to a barge. They couldn't have put that on something and sailed it downriver. They couldn't elevate that with ramps and human beings dragging it. The human energy needed and necessary was for the mixing of the limestone and the other mixture to create the stone mixture to be poured just like a bucket brigade. They mix it, pour it into a bucket, hand it to him, hand it to him, hammer it to him. He takes this, hammers to the guy at the top with the mold. He dumps it in there, brings the bucket to go back around in a constant until that is filled. And when it is filled to where it's supposed to be filled at, they do the next one. And then they take the wood off of that one because it's now it's setting. It can dry. Put it onto the other one after that. Man. That's logical. If you have a better idea, or if you agree with what had been stated for many hundreds of years, and even when the Greeks came into Kemet, the Kemetic people said, yeah, that's how we build them, it's these series of ramps. Right. Yeah, sure. Because they did not want them to know the energy source and how they were done. They would continue to let you believe that they were done in that manner. So Herodotus, one of the early Greek historians, said that's how it was done. That's what he was told. But they took it with them around the world. The documentary will show you. And it will show you also, too, where the people who encountered, who they encountered, and when they did something and they had to move on, they didn't leave it. They took it with them. And if it's going to be finished, it was finished by some rudimentary measure or just piling rocks. I'm telling you, family, we were some great people. We were not a people that came to take people's land. We were not a people that came to subjugate them and enslave them and to kill them. The Europeans have an ugly history, a very ugly history. That's why they lie about so much, because they know it's ugly. But they want to justify it. They want to bring some kind of grandeur to it about how great it is and what it has done. I mean, you've seen the stuff, about the westward expansion and, you know, and because they have no respect for humanity. They have no respect for humanity. The same with the people who swept across North Africa. The same people who now occupy Kemet. The Egyptians, we can call them Egyptians, because that's a Greek, we can call them Egyptians. They're not Kemetic people. And these Egyptians today are upset. They ostracized Kevin Hart, the comedian, who said that the ancient Egyptians were African. They were pissed about that, because they want to claim the glory, the grandeur of all of it has their own, and that only Africans live below sub-Saharan from the very beginning. And they did nothing. Build mud huts. They did nothing. When I went to Kemet, I had a long conversation with the our tour guide. When we went to Abu Simbel, when we went south, you know, we went to the Aswan Dam, and we went to Abu Simbel, saw Lake Nasser, you know, learned about the history of the cutting up Abu Simbel to put it where it is today, because they were going to flood that area, and so they, you know, they had to cut it up in many pieces and put it back together as a jigsaw puzzle. And some of the things broke, as you can see when you look at a picture of Abu Simbel today and all the other stuff that they did, you know, moving it from where it was to where it is. You know, I'll often make a comparison of engineering feats, because the real engineering feat, or maybe I let you think about it, which is a more of an engineering feat? Was it when it was built, when Abu Simbel was built? There is a shrine inside Abu Simbel that twice a year the sun will penetrate the hall and illuminate the shrine, the Holy of Holies. They built Abu Simbel with that in mind. Perfectly, the sun will penetrate and illuminate the Holy of Holies. Now, the other engineering feat I mentioned was the fact that they cut it up and they put it back together inside of a mountain. I agree, they're both engineering feats. But the second, of course, is that the tools of modern day, they have earth movers, they have all kinds of stuff, you know. They have saws that can cut stone perfectly, that you can get good. But I'm talking about then. Because what you see now was created then. The images, those, once again, the same face on all four of the Ramesses the second, that's who Abu Simbel is for, Ramesses the second, and you see him sitting in a sitting position in his face, all four, they're all the same. Already I said they didn't have the tools to carve. They didn't have that. So they used molds and they poured it. And then taking the mold off, and it hardens and bam, there it is. We got to begin to understand and use some rationality. I know the people there today are pissed. They were pissed at Netflix for making a docudrama of Cleopatra with a young lady who was would be considered kind of high yellow. Well, you know, her complexion a little dark. And people were upset by that. You know? Today, I remember when Anwar Sadat was pissed because Lou Gossett Jr. was going to play him. He wanted some cracker to play him. Anwar Sadat. Yeah. What Europeans have done in whitewashing history has had a deleterious effect. You like that word, huh? On the minds of humanity and has obscured history. And even though, I come to Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop in 74, proving he had the smoking gun family. That's why, to me, the debate was why. He had the smoking gun. What is a smoking gun in a trial? The proof, the whole proof, and nothing but the proof of the situation. Bona fide, verified, fact. He had the melanin dosage test. He created the melanin dosage test. And only thing that he asked are these crackers. Let him have Ramesses. Oh, there's a few other of the mummies of antiquity. Not anybody in the Ptolemaic. Because see, understand something. There's 30 dynasties. After the 30th dynasty, then begins the Ptolemies, the Greeks. They ain't talking about them. That's why, to me, you can have Cleopatra. You can do whatever the hell you want with her ass. One thing about Cleopatra that must be noted is the fact that she was committed to being Kemetic or Egyptian. She was committed to being Egyptian, and what she wanted was not to be conquered by the Romans. So she played Julius Caesar, and then they killed Julius Caesar. Beware of the Ides of March. Ah, this is March, isn't it? The Ides of March, March 15th. Beware of the Ides of March. But of course, Julius Caesar ignored the warning of the soothsayers, and his ass marched up into the center. Nate, Cassius, and Brutus, man, just, oh, you too, Brute. You know. And then, of course, she played Mark Anthony. She played Mark Anthony. And then she killed herself, and he killed himself, whatever, I guess. You know? I'm not sure what happened to their son, Caesarion. That was her and Julius Caesar's son. But the point I'm making here, that's not ancient Kemet. That's contemporary Egypt. They weren't building pyramids. They weren't building temples and tombs. They're just living. All the things that were created, all the things that were done prior to that coming into existence. And how we did it. And like I said, you know, you have three seasons. You have the season where the floods come in and you get together and you begin. And the documentary will show you that. That's when they built pyramids, temples, and tombs. Water recedes. That's when you plant. That's when you plant. And then the next season is the harvest. It's the harvest. And of course they irrigated the crops so they got enough water. And they grew. Then you harvest it. Yeah. Yep. That's why, to me, learning about ancient Kemet, learning about pyramids, learning about how this was done, gives you a great historical perspective. And the fact that learning how this was done and who did it, I think that's why I keep saying about Great Pyramid K 2019. It tells you how it was done and who did it. One of the things unequivocally it says, Africans did this. Africans, dark skin, Africans. Nobody could toil out in that sun the way that they could. Nobody light skin has the pictures have shown these light skinned men. You know, that didn't happen. It was Africans. They were Africans. And Dr. Jopp and Dr. Binger proved it when they finally, even though they did not let them have the mummies at the time, they finally, they were relented. They got the test proving that it could be done. You know. Yeah. Proving it could be done. I'm going to call it. Brother Paul, how you doing?
Baba Ochi, I am doing wonderful and for the better to hear your fantastic rendition. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that, it. I appreciate it. I really do. Because it's something that I used to do a lot when I was working with the young people, because I was trying to help them understand there was a period of time of African greatness, because they'd been led to believe once again that they were running around the jungle with a rag up their ass and a bone through their nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, and that we should be thankful for what Europeans were able to do by bringing us civilization. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. Or even exposing us, even during our enslavement, we should be happy, you know, that they enslaved us. They want to believe, I'm serious, they want us to believe that we should be have gratitude and that we were enslaved because it took us out of Africa. In fact, there was a legislator, a woman in Florida. She said, I'm happy that my people were enslaved because I could be back in Africa worshiping a tree or some shit like that, you know. So she was happy, you know. That's the kind of ignorance. That's the kind of ignorance this stuff, you know, develops.
Well, that woman you describe is just a victim of
right.
the overall plan. And there's only one plan. It doesn't matter, Baba Ochi, if Donald Hitler Mussolini Trump says to you that he has a plan for 2025. It doesn't matter if that Nazi fascist George Bush tells you he has a plan called the New World Order.
Right.
It's still a plan of the colonial plan.
Right, exactly.
And that plan was set back when they came and took over a land and occupied the plan, controlled it, killed the inhabitants, grabbed some Africans from Africa, put chains around their feet and neck, took them to a place, labeled it America, called them Americans, and they just continued the plan. This stage of the plan is colonization of the mind, Baba Ochi. So today, that same plan is about targeting the mind. And the ultimate objective of that plan is to colonize the soul. And they're going to do that by creating one world order and one world religion. That's what that is the most, because once they've got your soul, then they've got you hook, line and sinker. So,
yes.
So, Baba Ochi, when you talk about that woman, I just empathize for her because her mind's been colonized. That's
right.
All what's happened to her. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us are in that predicament. A lot of us calling ourselves, look, we call ourselves labels, which our colonizer have given us. We speak the language which has been oppressed on us by our colonizers. We are colonized.
Right.
So the reality of it is, you know, I have empathy for her. You know what I mean? We're colonized, but we're seeking to free our minds from mental slavery. I'm going back, you know, you talk about the pyramids and you say they want us to believe. Well, you know, Baba Ochi, you have that wisdom to know that belief is not knowledge. Belief is just something someone told you, mm-hmm. and you are just regurgitating without no input of critical thinking, no input of analysis, no input of anything. You're just like what the pastors do. They get a book and they just regurgitate it. Oh, God said this, this said that. And when you ask them a question, you say, "How do you know?" Simple question, like, "How do you know that?" And then you become the enemy. You become the enemy because you are thinking outside the box. And the whole point of being colonized is so that you do not think outside the box. So belief, a religious person will always tell you, "I believe." And then you say to them, "You believe, but what do you know?" Right. And they start right. iffing and butting. And then, you know, their defense is, "Oh, well, you don't believe in God." But I just ask you a question. I'm not asking what you believe. Tell me what you know. To seek knowledge, you have to put in the work, Baba Ochi. You know that. You have to go and do your research. You have to go and do you have to use due diligence. You have to take on the responsibility of speaking truth. And with that responsibility, Baba Ochi, you have to have that ability to respond in the first place. If you haven't got that ability, then you're not going to be able to obtain responsibility. So belief is not knowledge. Belief is just regurgitation. Belief is just like being a parrot, just repeating something right. without no critical thinking. Yeah? And you know the pyramids, Baba Ochi? The genius of the pyramids, for me and my observation, is this. I think that the pyramids was not just a vanity project. They're going to build these big, high statues to go and peer at or put some person in for the afterlife. I feel my analysis, I've come to the conclusion that this was an energy project. This was a whole energy project. And this is what I think. You mm-hmm. you said something. You said they had a part in it where when the sunlight hits it and it, you know, it goes through a certain process. Well, yes, we also know that they had lime on the outside of those buildings.
Right.
Lime. They were covered right. in lime, yeah?
Yes.
Well, why? Why would they do that? And there were rods going down to the earth. Well, when you use certain compounds, they create electricity. What we know, and electricity is the movement of neutrons and protons. That's what electricity is. It's mm-hmm. when neutrons and protons move and you create energy. Okay? So for me personally, and what comes from the sun? You know Delbert Blair? You know this guy, brother you
Delbert
have
Blair?
Over there called
yes.
Delbert Blair? He's passed away now.
Yes, I know Delbert Blair, yes.
Well, before we had the internet, over here we used to have a few people sell us videos of all these people on there, yeah? And we probably even know them a lot more than people over there because we had these videos. We used to see them. All their videos we used to get. And I remember when I was watching Delbert Blair one time and he said, "No light comes from the sun." I thought to myself, "What the hell is he talking about? No light comes from the sun," right? I thought, what a thing to say. That's crazy, yeah? And then one day I'm watching one program and they show the satellite. Yeah, they saw a satellite and it's looking back at the Earth. And I looked and there was no sign of light outside the Earth. It's in perpetual darkness. And I said to myself, what in all my years of schooling and all the times I've visited the science museum, been in the astronomy section and everything, I never even realized that. And nobody's ever told me that. After that, I realized that I kept on telling people that and they look at me like I'm crazy. But there's no light outside the sun, outside the earth. There's no light. So what is light? Light is friction. Light, because we're spinning so fast, it's called friction. And what we're looking at and we're thinking is coming from the sun isn't actually coming from the sun. It's the friction. It's the energy, like when you rub your hands together, it starts to heat up. That's what light is, okay? And that energy is magnetized. And the reason why they built the pyramids, because at the top of the pyramid is a point, and point concentrates energy, and it goes to the four points of the earth. You see, another thing, under the pyramid, that's not what we see at the top is not as above, so below. What you see at the top, they built underneath as well, mm-hmm. because they concentrate the energy from the top and push it underground. You see, this is why they're lying to us. They're lying to us. We were building energy and map it, and the energy map through something called concentric circles and something called Ley lines of natural energy will run through the earth. They were collating that energy. And they have proof of that, Bob Balchi. I've seen it. Mm. They know that. Mm. I've seen in some of their science magazines, okay, and they explain it. But they're lying to us. They're lying to the people. You know, in China, they have the same pyramids in China. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. But nobody can go to those areas. It was one American who was flying over it, who took pictures of them, right? But yet, still to this day, no one can go to that. They have pyramids in Florida. They have pyramids in Mexico. They have pyramids in the Atlantic Sea.
Sure.
These were energy. They were gathering energy. You know what I'm saying? This is how deep we are. And I'm just going to say this last thing, yeah? Baba Olchi, there's one point. There's a brother who comes on WOL, right? And he always talks about aliens. And even to me, it sounds crazy.
Okay.
But he's talking truth. He's talking some serious truth. The problem is this, Baba Olchi. When I come to America, on my boarding pass, it says alien. It says I am an alien. On the boarding pass, when anybody outside America comes to America, it tells you that you're an alien. Right? That's what it tells you. It's written on the boarding pass, right?
Really? I didn't know that, but that's a terrible term. Because
you're not going to know that because you've got an American passport.
Yeah.
But I know that because I've traveled to America many times, and I've traveled through America going on my way to the Caribbean many times. And I see it. It's got written on it, alien. Everybody outside of America is described as an alien. Now, wow. I thought about that. I say, imagine. They're telling me that I'm an alien. How right. dare they? They went and captured the land from the people, and they're telling me that I'm the alien. But anyway, so I thought about that, and then one day I realized, look, this we use the English language, right? And a way of hiding something from somebody is to give it a label. So everything outside of America is alien. Everything outside this planet is alien. What if, Baba Olchi, what if that when you saw this thing they're calling alien, it looked just like you? What
yeah.
if?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you call it an alien? You wouldn't call it an alien. You'll call it your brother.
Right.
Let me cement that even further. I saw one scientist say something here. A scientist. He said, the map for life, what you find on the Earth, because Earth is in the habitable zone, what they call the habitable zone, right? It's the right distance between the sun and
right.
outer space. That's why it
exactly.
can provide life, right?
Right.
And this is what he said. He said, anywhere in the known galaxy, this is what this scientist said, you know, he said, the pattern where you find for life on the Earth will be replicated everywhere. So that means we are everywhere, bruv. We better wake up.
So in different galaxies and in different solar systems, particularly because we're in the Milky Way galaxy, but this is the solar system that we're in, where we have a sun and planets around it. And what they're saying is that in those different galaxies, there is a sun with planets around it, and there is a planet that is not too close
but
not too far.
I want to interrupt.
Sure.
Right? Excuse me. I beg apologies. But hear what? In this galaxy, there are millions of suns. Every
right.
star you see up there is a sun, because the
right.
our what we're looking at is a sun.
Right.
The sun, what we call the sun, is 20. Look, listen to this. The sun is 20 million times bigger than the Earth, right?
Right.
And there are suns which are 20 billion times bigger than our sun in this solar system. In this solar system.
Yeah.
Okay, and what this scientist said, he said that the pattern which he sees here, like the habitable zone where life is, yeah, he said it will replicate itself everywhere, yeah. So, and that told me that this melanin, what melanin is a protection against ultraviolet light. So what he's really saying is, where there's life, you're going to see people like us. So there's no
right.
aliens out there; there's just people like us. But they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to understand that we are the basic pattern for life on this planet, right? And everywhere. And that's why they bamboozle us. That's why they keep us hoodwinked. That's why they keep us talking their language, keep us on these distractions,
right.
sport, porn, every distraction you can imagine they feed us on. That's the reason, because they don't want us to wake up.
That's right. That's right. They want to keep us deaf and dumb. And keep us in their clutches. I tell you, you know, That's interesting. That's
I'm sorry.
But what I've often been interested in was life on Earth and how life formulates on Earth from the very beginning in its evolutionary process to present day and beyond. Now, I'm not a religious person, and I definitely don't believe in the theologies that have been imposed upon humanity. You know, I believe in the more of a spirituality that exists for humanity, that because of the life-giving rays of the sun, because of all the things that are in nature, you know, that to help promote and give life. Now, those people who are religious, unfortunately, those people have been destroyers. Those people have a certain theology and a deity by which they worship to, which causes them to want to dominate and control people who don't believe the way they believe. They want to impose those things on others.
Babochi, you talk about religion here, religion, Christianity. It talked about the Son of God, the Son, S-O-N. Look, Christianity is a way of covering up the reality. The sun is talking about the sun in the sky. When it crosses the sky, there's a part where it meets. They call that the equinox, okay? And the equinox is a cross, so they put the sun on a cross. He's on the cross. If you ever see a picture of Jesus Christ, he has a halo above his head.
Right.
That's the sun. That's the sun. Okay.
Right.
So they've taken, and we overstood these things. We overstood these things. We weren't talking about the Coptic Church in Egypt. Yeah. One thing when Alexander the Great came to Egypt, he wanted to impose his image. He wanted to be God. They told him, no, we don't have no concept like that, right? We talk about the sun in the sky and how it interacts with the earth, the equinox and the changing of the seasons. We don't have no man representing himself. And he said, no, I am the king. I should be that. And this is where the idea of Jesus come from, because the Romans took it from the Greeks.
Right.
And they came up with this thing called Christianity, you understand? And really, it was they were taking the real knowledge, which is about the sun and the moon and the earth, and then they were tricking the people. Because you know how they trick the people? These people trick the people because they have to be a go-between. You have in your stomach solar plexus. They call it the solar plexus. Why do they call it the solar plexus? Because that's where your sun comes from. That's why it's called solar. It's a concentration of your nerves. If you get your hand and press it just under your heart, that's where all your nerves are concentrated. It's called the solar plexus. It connects with the sun. Solar plex, solar system. Okay, it's the same thing. So what I'm saying to you, they want to act as the go-between. Religion is the go-between, whether it's Islam, Buddhism,
You don't need a go-between. You have a direct.
No, you don't need a go-between. You don't make the go-between because you are made in the image and the likeness of the Creator. The Creator is the damn sun. It's not no man in the sky sitting on a throne. It's the sun and the moon and all the faculties. Every star you see up in there is a sun. Every star you see up there is energy. Every star, Jupiter. Jupiter is known as the second sun, or Saturn. It's known as the second sun. But, and you know what these psychopaths are thinking of doing, Bob Olchin? This is why I tell you, if you're wearing this enhanced uniform of melanin, you're not just wearing it because you're wearing it so you can connect to the sun, so you can get the downloads and the information, but you're not waking up. These psychopaths are thinking of terraforming Jupiter or Saturn, one of those planets. And do you know what that means? Sending a nuclear missile to light it up. These people are crazy beyond crazy.
He's not crazy. I never heard this. I never heard that. That's crazy.
Listen, you're not going to hear that. Look, I'm not a Mr. Know-it-all. I don't know everything. But one thing I've told you before, I'm interested in our people anywhere we are on the planet. I wanted to know why we're this complexion. Why? We're not this complexion by coincidence or for a reason. We're this reason because melanin on this planet interacts with the sun. Right. Look, think about it. X-ray comes from the sun. X-ray is a damaging. X-ray can kill you.
Right.
There's several rays that come from the sun. It's, you know, they're not all life bearing, and that shows the complexities of it. They bamboozle us with their nonsense because they don't want us to wake up to the reality of who we are. And I say it again, last thing I'm going to say to you, Bubba G, our role, we only have one role and we are failing, is to protect the planet.
That's right.
They want to destroy it. You can see it. I'm not making it up. You can see what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And we're there. We are there following them. Like, we're so damn stupid following them. And I tell you what, all the plans you have for your children and your offspring, if we don't wake up, you can forget them. Because these people are going to annihilate everything.
That's right. You're right. So all the things that you have for your future, for your children, for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and so forth and so on,
wake up
will be
and realize
no
that
more.
Our role is to protect the planet.
Yeah.
Not listen to these children. Like one of our elders over here used to say to us, these are naughty little school children talking to their parents. We're their damn parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got to step up. We got to step up and take control. You know, let me say this, Brother Paul, and I appreciate this conversation in light of what I was talking about to help us understand that there was a civilization in time that understood that and treated and those who were in that civilization were treated with humanity. You know, they were treated with humanity, and there was some equality. There was some understanding between men and women. And each of them, the energy that they brought was respected. But then now we have these people, these Europeans, who have no respect for humanity and have no respect for women. And they're the ones who are trying to dominate and control what's happening here on the planet to the detriment of this planet. You know,
in this country, England, I'm going to confirm what you've just said. In this country called England, and there's a relationship between this country and the country you live in.
Yes.
No one can deny that.
Yes.
You speak English.
Right.
All the so-called devil founding fathers, they were English. Yeah. The president, they were English. Okay. There's no argument there. But listen, right. This is when the Romans came to England. This is what I read in their books. You know what they did. Yeah. The women. I'm talking about their white women who lived here. This is what they said. They said the Romans, when they came, in order to impose their religion, their Christianity on them, it was the women who were the oracles. It was the women who carried all the knowledge, mm-hmm. right? So they turned the women into witches.
Right.
Start calling them witches, okay? Right? Because they had the power. They could read into the future. Now, that's their white women in this country. This is what they say, you know. And I thought about that. Mm-hmm. And you know the truth. Even my dad said that. My dad used to be a mechanic. I told you that. And he opened up a hair salon. Because my mom's a hairdresser. They went into business, right? And my dad said something to me one day. He said, these women, right? Because most of these people working for him were women. Obviously, they come and give their hair and whatever.
Sure.
And one day he was sitting there like his head's in his head. And he said to me, they have and I was shocked when he said it. He don't talk like this. He said, these women have a special power that I never saw before. That's what he said to me. You know, my dad don't even talk like that.
Mm.
He said to me, he never realized this, yeah? And he started to explain some things. And at the time, I didn't get it. And I looked at him and I'm thinking, what's he talking about? You know what I mean? Because he don't talk like that. But then over the years, I start to analyze it, yeah? You know, what they've done. Right, because they're so insecure about themselves, these people, they killed the woman power.
Right, they demonized it. Yes,
they killed it dead. Right,
yeah.
And unfortunately, because we allowed them, I'm going to say that we allowed them to have reign over us, conquer us, or whatever they want to call it. They've changed us into it. When they brought these religions, look at this, Mohammedism and Christianity, which are both foreign religions, and everyone they were, yeah, mm-hmm. both these religions. They demonize women.
Right.
Demonize.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And unfortunately, today, we follow the same traits. We've taken on their madness. And they look, sometimes I listen. My mum's not, I wouldn't say educated. My mum's a hairdresser. But sometimes my mum will say something to me at the blue. And later on down the road, I'm thinking, my good God. You know, a sister came on there. She said they use the same playbook, just a small center like that. That is the playbook of colonization. The same playbook. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if Trump is telling you about some bullcrap 2020 plan or whatever bullcrap he's telling you. It's the same colonization plan. It's the same playbook. It don't matter. New World Order, the same colonization plan. Mm-hmm. 2030 agenda.
Yeah, 2025 project. 2025 project, same thing. Yes.
Same colonization. All they're doing, and look how they play it, Baba Ochi. You say it's the same wings, or it's different wings of the same stinking bird,
right? Yep.
They got that playbook from the Romans. It's the Romans gave them that playbook. The Romans brought it to the English, and the English took it right down there. Same playbook. The old parliamentary system is the politics is there to divide you. No other reason. It's not there to support you. It's there to divide you, mm-hmm. to keep you divided.
Right.
So they're telling you to vote. What the hell is that going to do? You vote for one. Why can't you vote for them? You mm-hmm. can only vote for one of them. And then one gets in power and does the same thing to you. And the other one gets in power and does the same thing again. They're there to keep up the status quo, which is colonization.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Paul.
So you do. And so what's the way out then? What's the way out? The way out, Bookman Doty.
Bookman Doty, that's right. I love me some Bookman Doty. Throw away the white man's God. And you.
So let me rub it in. So those nationalists, those who wrap themselves around the flag can understand something here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He came from Jamaica. He was taken from Jamaica. He was a Muslim, yeah? He had the Islamic religion, right? But put that aside. He came to Jamaica. Okay, he came to Haiti. He stirred up something there. He stirred it up. Okay, and that was that. That what he stirred up there. These people never forget, because he left their heads on stakes. He murdered them, killed them, and run them out. Okay, and that is known as the only real successful revolution in the West. When he absolutely destroyed their armies, destroyed them, put the fear of the Most High in them, and they have never forgotten that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So and he said, throw away the image of your oppressor. Now, most of you over there and us here, we can't do that. We can't do that because we are so indoctrinated by these people. Even when we talk, we sound like them.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution is to throw away the image of your oppressor. Now, can you do that? Look in the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror, mm-hmm. and you see if you don't see a Negro peeing there. See if you don't see him. See if you don't see him.
Deep. Yes,
and
Paul.
That's what we got to dispel. That means we got, and people talk about we're fighting a war. The only war we're fighting is against ourselves. That's right. The only war we're fighting.
In our minds.
We need to let that go.
Yep, in our minds. Brother Paul, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Hope you listen on Wednesday, my brother. You have a blessed day, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Let me just say hello to Irv. Irv, are you there?
Baba Oji, can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Are you in L.A.? Are you in L.A. safely now?
Actually, I'm about 2 hours, an hour and a half from the Grand Canyon. We're on our way to the. We'll be at the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen.
Yeah, we're on our way. We just about there. But Baba Oji, thank you for bringing me on, man. I appreciate it. Baba. I got some water for Paul because he was on fire, man. But what he was saying was. It was so true, man.
Yeah.
It was so true. I was feeling it, man. He was right. He was right with what he was saying. He was really right with what he
was
saying.
Good to see you still alive, Irv.
Hey, thanks, Brother Jay. I was wondering if you still on. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you, Brother Jay.
The queen has not beheaded you.
Not yet.
Beautiful.
Hey,
so you have must you. Behave yourself on this trip. I'm proud of you, Irv.
Bro, if I'm still married when I get to California, this thing going to last forever, bro.
I know that's right.
You get the road trip, boy.
So it's forever.
It's a test, bro. This, a road trip with your queen is a test.
That's right.
See how deep is your love?
The longest I ever did was eight hours from New York up to Albany, and I thought I was going to die. But thank God I'm still here. I'll never do it again.
It's all good. It's all good, brother. Thank you for bringing me on.
Enjoy yourself,
Irv,
in the family.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Take care,
Irv. Brother.
Peace, Irv. Thanks a lot, dear brother. All right. Peace, family. Peace, Jay. And brother Lust, I appreciate you, brother. I know you're hanging on, but I'm got to close out. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB40 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. See you soon. See you on Wednesday.